Does God have first place in your life, or does he simply have a place? Is it the first place, or is it just a place? Many times we can look at other people, their prayers being answered, and we look at ours not being answered nearly as much, and we think, well, why isn't it working for me? And the question that we should be asking is, does he have first place in your personal life, or does he have just simply a place? I'm going to read a passage in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll come back to it. I just want to read it, and then we'll pray. Proverbs 3 was written by Solomon, the wisest man that had been on the planet other than Jesus. And he gives really the whole purpose of man. He says, honor the Lord. Just if you read nothing else, just read that. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thine increase. Honor the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that aside from all of our stumblings and our missteps, all of our foolishness, all of our personal rebellions, Lord, you labor long and patient with us. You pull us along by your Holy Spirit. Sometimes we kick and scream against you, but God, your goodness. So this morning, Lord, speak to my heart, speak to the hearts of each and every person here today, Lord, that we might learn to honor you with our whole lives and everything that consists in our lives, that we might truly give you glory. Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. We ask you as well today that you would bless those that give in support of this ministry, in support of the gospel going forth to the four corners of the earth. Lord, bless those who support this ministry. We ask in Jesus' name that you do it in such a way that they understand that the Lord has rained down upon them. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Honor the Lord. It's important that you and I live lives that actually honor him. There is a principle that we see throughout the Bible, and I'll read it here in a moment. It's in 1 Samuel, if you want to turn there. But the principle is simply this. God said, and whatever God says, it's a promise. It's got to come to pass. But he said, I will honor those who honor me. Now, that's just a simple, solid statement. You can't misunderstand that. He says, I will honor those that honor me. But those that despise me will be lightly esteemed. Now, to despise God doesn't mean that you're in open rebellion against him. It does mean that, but it doesn't mean just that. But it means a life that takes his will, his word, and his commandments and esteems them lightly. Doesn't give them proper weight within their life. And so he says that those that will honor me, I will honor them. And those that despise me, he doesn't say I'm going to hate them. That's not it. He says I'm going to lightly esteem them. And so many times you can actually be a Christian, even involved in the work of the ministry, but because of a lack of honor, not on Sunday morning, but on Tuesday evening, on Friday evening, when nobody else sees you, if you're still honoring God in your personal holiness, he's saying that I will honor that person. And listen, when the creator of the universe honors you, you can't get there by yourself. It means when he puts you in a place that because he's honoring you, it means you didn't deserve that. You didn't earn that. It means God put you there and nobody can move you. And brothers and sisters, that gives you confidence in life. Now, I want to go back to the Old Testament and share a story about a man who was both the judge of Israel and he was a high priest by the name of Eli. Eli judged Israel for 40 years. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, we don't know how long this has been going on, but we know it was a grievous sin. We know that Eli was aware of what his sons were doing. And by the way, one of his two sons was going to be the next high priest. And it says in verse 22, now, Eli was very old, meaning his ministry was behind him, and he never fixed this problem. Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel, how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, that's the sin that his two sons were committing. To put it in our modern terms, they were active in the priesthood. One of them would be the next high priest, but they were actually having sex with the women who either worked in the tabernacle or possibly even women that came to worship in the tabernacle. Right at the gate of the tabernacle, they were having open sex in that area. That's not very honoring to the Lord, is it? And this went on for some amount of time. We don't know how long, but it does say Eli was very old. In fact, this was very shortly before his death. He was aware of what was happening, but he didn't honor God enough to bring discipline upon his sons and to correct them from their error. And the concept is, the principle is, that God said, I will honor those who honor me. But those that despise me, meaning despise his will, his way, and his word, he said, I'm going to lightly esteem them. And we find that in this same chapter, if you drop down to verse 30, this is an unknown prophet. It's not Samuel prophesying this. It's an unknown prophet. But he says this, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said, indeed, speaking to Eli, that thou house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. Meaning that he has already said that the Levites would be the priesthood. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. As you go through scripture, you see this principle play out over and over and over. And brothers and sisters, it plays out in our lives to the same extent. When we're cutting corners, you know, you got a lot of preachers right now doing the exact same thing that Eli and Hophni were doing, having sex with women in their congregation. It's rampant within Christianity. And how many can just say, well, I know that's wrong. Does anybody know what's wrong? I mean, that's ridiculous, right? But Hophni and Phinehas, they weren't preachers. They weren't in this position. They were in that position. And right now, just as rampant in our modern Christianity, we have one member of a congregation having sex with another member of the congregation who are not married. It's okay if you're married. That's between you and your spouse and the Lord. But if you're not married, you are lightly esteeming the word of God. It's quiet in here. Them that honor me, I will honor. And them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, if we go back to Proverbs, we see where Solomon was given, it's the whole duty of man is to honor God. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Now, this word substance, its primary meaning is your resources, your financial resources, that gives you financial backing. And he did this in the Old Testament. The tithe was a commandment. If you didn't tithe in the Old Testament, you broke the law. But in the New Testament, it's not a commandment. It's simply a recommendation that has promises attached to it. And so he says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit. That means the first. The first fruit is the best of the harvest. It's the best that you have. Do you ever wonder, why did God initiate tithing? Why did he do that? Why did he say, the first tenth is mine? Because part of the fall that you and I experienced in Adam, The primary sinful attribute of the fall is that every last one of us, including me, is selfish. We're selfish by nature. We don't have to try to be. We're automatically selfish. We're selfish with our spouses. We're selfish with our children. But when it comes down to our money, we're selfish with God. I said we're selfish with God. And in our minds, we think, well, this is mine. Not realizing the scripture says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so everything he gave us, our talents, our money, our resources, our possessions, all of it belongs to him. He just made us stewards of that he puts into our hands. And it's almost like Jesus told the parable of the wicked masters that were over the vineyard. The Lord gave them control of the vineyard. He went off on a far journey, and then they thought the vineyard was theirs. It's good preaching. And we think that all that the Lord has given us, man, we're blessed. God, we're the most blessed people on the planet. There's nobody like the people in the United States in terms of blessings. But sometimes how we get it in our minds, this is mine. No, it's not. It all belongs to God. But in his graciousness, he says, just honor me with the first tenth. And then he said, I will honor those that honor me. And them that despise me, I will lightly esteem. Now, we see this principle other places in the New Testament. Somebody says, you mean I'm going to be lightly esteemed if I don't tithe? Yes, it's all over the New Testament. It's all over. Or not even tithing, giving in general. And I share some of those scriptures with you because I have watched this for 30 years as a pastor. I have watched people come into this congregation homeless. I said homeless with nothing. And they make a full commitment to the way of the Lord, not just in tithing, but in their whole life. And I've watched God raise them up to a position that you never know, that you never would have guessed they were homeless. Matter of fact, some of them are living better lifestyle than I am. But because God has, the concept is, I'm going to honor those that honor me. Now, let me just say this. I don't need your money. I know the devil, every time a preacher preaches on tithe, you think of the greed preachers that's just trying to take money. When you came here, I was already blessed. I don't care how long you've been here. When you got here, I was already blessed. And so now I want to see you have the blessings that God has given to me, because there's no reason that you shouldn't have it if you're a child of God. But you have to understand the eyes of the Lord go to and fro. He beholds everything, and he's saying, I will honor those that honor me. That doesn't mean on Sunday morning we lift our hands and say, God, I give you glory. I give you honor. That includes that, but that ain't it. This happened to me last week. I had a large bill, had some work done at my house, and I was going to pay these guys, so in advance, it cost $1,000 even. $1,000 is what I had to give them, and I had pulled the money out of the bank, all in $100 bills, nice and neat, had it in a little clip. I got to, tomorrow morning, deposit this into the bank so I can write them a check. And I was getting ready for church, and the Lord, out of the sky blue, I got to pay this bill. I said, can I have that? I want that. And without any hesitation in my heart, I said, God, you can have anything you want from me. Because without you, I have nothing. And I immediately took the money from where it was, put it into a tithe envelope, put it together, because you got to act quick when the Lord does that to you. You can't think on it. You got to make that happen immediately so the devil doesn't fight your mind. Put it into an envelope and gave it to the Lord. And here's what God does. He tests you and I. And he tests us in the area of our money, because that's where selfishness really shows out at. That's what it really meant. It's mine. But the reality is, it's not yours. It always belonged to him. Just because you got some paper in your pocket, that's not value. That's just the value we put on it because that's how we do commerce. But the real value that we have in life is our relationship with Him, the Creator, who has created everything. No matter what you need, He said, I supply all of your need in accordance to my own riches and glory. But He only does that for those that honor Him. And He only does that to anybody to the extent that they honor Him. It's a growth. It's a progression. I don't want to, you know, focus on me at all. I just know my life. I don't know other people's lives, so I can't use them for an example. That's my daughter that does worship. She could have been on dope. She could have. I just read this. I think it's like 16% of people in her age group, of males in her age group, are actually married. I think it's like 20, 25% of females in that age group. That's ridiculous. Back in 1975, it was like 90%. But not only that, she's got a good husband who is saved. And I stand over there in worship, and when I open my eyes, I see my daughter leading the worship. And if I look right past her, I see my grandbabies over in that corner dancing before the Lord. God will honor those that honor Him. And many of us, we don't get the full benefit of what Jesus has died for because, as Sister Angela was preaching this morning, we have faith, but we have no trust. We have faith. In fact, Jesus said this, with their lips they do honor me. He said, with their mouths they do honor me and with their lips. But God wants somebody who glorifies them with their life. And listen, it doesn't mean, again, using myself as an example, it doesn't mean that I walk in absolute perfection. I don't. God's dealing with me all the time. I mean, I still have stumbles. I still have missteps. But the course of my life, the beat of my heart is, God, I want to honor you. You're my king. I want to give you what I was created to do, give you glory and honor. That's what I want for my life. It was not very much later that I thought I had it in here, and I don't. Eli's boys went to battle against the Philistines, and God cut them both off. Phinehas, when he died, he had a wife who was pregnant. While he had some side chicks at the gate of the tabernacle, mind you, he had a wife who was pregnant. God allowed them both to die, and he allowed the Ark of the Covenant to be taken by the Philistines. And when word came back to Eli, who was sitting in the gate of the city, and that's where the people who had political clout, they sat in the gate of the city. When he heard it, he fell backwards and broke his neck and died. I will honor those who honor me, but those who despise me, I will lightly esteem. And then even when when his child was born, it was a hard labor. And the child was finally born, and the mother said, name the child Ichabod. The Spirit of the Lord has departed. The Ark of the Covenant has been taken. You see, never let it get in your mind that your requirement is to come to this place on Sunday and watch the worship team perform. That's not a requirement. The requirement is that we bring ourselves before the Lord, that we worship the Lord of glory, that we give Him our gifts from a free and an open heart, that we partake of His word in seriousness, that we listen and we apply this word to our lives. And as we do that and we walk that out, we find that Lord, little by little, He begins to honor us. My wife and I, we're almost on a weekly basis, we're saying, God has blessed us. We're not rich, but you don't need to be rich to be blessed. You can have a sparse life and still be blessed. Still have perfect peace. When your head hits the pillow at night, you don't have any worries on your mind. But it comes from a lifestyle of honoring the Lord. Always put Him first. Does it sound like I'm beating you up this morning? That's not my spirit. But this is going to sound like I am beating you up, but it's not. You know why some of us can't lift our hands in worship? Because it's about you, and it's not about him. It's your pride. It's your ego. It's self that won't let go. Oh, now, if we get our lives in a mess, all of a sudden, our hands are wired up. But that's because you're in a mess. But when you come in with the heart, God, you are my king. All that I have belongs to you. And so you should challenge yourself, even if it's hard. I've been in this place. I understand it. So it's hard sometimes if you're not used to. Start here. And when you get used to being here and you realize nobody's thinking about you, you lost in your own mind, bring it up to here. And when you realize, you know what, nobody even looking at me, go ahead and give it up. Give them some glory. Because saints, you were created to honor your creator. You were created to give him true glory. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. You cannot just carnally come into a service and just partake of the ceremony of the worship team. Oh, this is the part of the ceremony where the worship team sings. And then the word, oh man, this is the part where the preacher is going to be talking. But you have to come in with a heart and a mind, Lord, I come to have an encounter with you. I hope these other people around me get something, but I came for you, Lord. I came to get something for you. My ear is open. My heart is open. My praises are flowing. He said, I will honor those that honor me. But those that despise me will be lightly esteemed. The book of Corinthians, he says this. I told you I would share this with you. Other situations in the New Testament where we see that the tithe, and I'm using the tithe this morning because we can all understand that. You can understand when God's putting his hand on your money. You feel that. You feel it's not free. It costs you something. And to honor God with your lifestyle, it costs you something. You can't always do what you want to do. You have to, he is first. He's in first place. Not just a place. He's in the first place of your life. And so you seek to honor him before you do anything else. Paul told the saints in Corinth, in the 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. He says, but this I say, he that sows sparingly, meaning he that is stingy with God. Am I making it plain? Because sometimes we can have resources like this, and we'll tear God off this little piece right here. That's a little too much. And we give God that. And that's not honoring him. That's not honoring him. That's deceiving yourself. He that soweth sparingly, meaning that despises the Lord, no regard to this scripture itself, he said, I'm going to esteem them lightly. They're going to sow sparingly. In other words, God's saying, if you're stingy with him, he's saying, I will be stingy with you. Oh, it's quiet. You know, some people are not used to. I've been tithing 40 years now. It's just, it's nothing. As a matter of fact, the $1,000 he asked me for last week, that wasn't my tithe. That was $1,000 that went for a bill that had nothing to do, no intention. It was not scheduled for the house of the Lord. But many times for people who don't know how to tithe, is how can I just jump into 10%? I mean, that's a lot of money. For if it's 10%, it's 10%. That's 10% of all you have. What if you're learning how to do it? Start with 5 and go to 6 and jump to 8. But you can't just sit there and say, well, I can't do that. Because that means that you're telling the Lord that what you're asking of me is unreasonable and you have not blessed me enough to do that. But what you don't understand is that 10% of a dollar hurts just as bad as 10% of $1,000. You got the same relative value. It's 10% across the board. And don't think that 10%, that's not the mark of perfection. That's God putting the rung of the ladder down here so he can make sure everybody can jump it. It's right here. You can give 50%. And as you say, as you grow, as you begin to trust God, go ahead and launch out on your faith. Reach out there. See what you can do. And again, it's not just with your money, it's with your time. How much time do you give the Lord? How much time do you give him in prayer, in study of the word, or in work of the ministry? How much of your time? Is it 10%? You get 24 hours in a day. Are you giving God 2 or 3 hours? And we begin to see that our lives don't nearly honor him as much as we would like to think that we honor him. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. In other words, he's saying that they that despise me or lightly esteem me, I'm going to lightly esteem them. But here's the good news. He that soweth bountifully, in other words, I give God full honor. I honor him in everything that I do. If he asks for more, he's my king. I honor him. He knows what I can do. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, I like the way that he put this. Because when you and I think of bountifully, if I had $1,000, I would say, wow, $500 of that's bountiful. Wouldn't you agree? That's bountiful. But God is not limited at $1,000. He's not limited to money. He could just simply say, because you've honored me, I'm going to make sure that I extend your youth into your late 70s. That's what I'm looking for. He can make sure that my dad had all the diseases that plagued the black population. He had high blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis. He had all of them. I got none of them. I got none of them. I will honor those that honor me. As you walk out today, I want to ask the question again. Does God have first place in your life? Or does he simply have a place in your life? Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, I've done my best to share that you've laid upon my heart, and I'm so glad that I did. Father, I ask you for the convicting power of your Holy Spirit to lay upon my heart, to lay upon the hearts of all those within the sound of my voice. Lord, that we not make the same mistake that Eli and Phinehas and Hophni made. God, but that we honor you with full honor. Oh, yes, Lord, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. But, Lord, that our heart, as King David, who was full of mistakes, but he was a man who sought after God's own heart. Lord, lay that spirit upon me, upon this congregation, those who are listening across the webcast. Lay that conviction upon our hearts, Lord, so that we can truly say, as the hart panteth after the water brook, Lord, our souls pant after you, that we truly give you honor and glory, that we lift you up in every respect. Come on, all over the room. Why don't you just stand to your feet with me? Let's just go to the Lord. You know where you are. You know what you need. If there's a shortcoming, you know where it's at. And just begin to reach out to the Lord. Father, I want my life to be more honoring of you. I want more, God, to glorify you, to be thankful to you and all that you've done. Lord, I want to honor you, not so that you'll honor me, but God, that I honor you. That's my heart. I'm not looking for a return, but I know you're a gracious God. Just ask him this morning, help me, Lord. Help me to honor you. Help me to honor you.
And Father God, we thank you so much that you said that we can trust you in Malachi 3:10, that we can test you on this, God. That you will open up a window and pour out a blessing, that we will have no more need. And God, you'll do just that. If we only have the faith and belief in you that you can do it. God, I've seen you do it. I've seen you do it to people here at the church, God. I've seen their lives be blessed and blessings running over. And I thank you so much for your word, that what you say, what you promise is truth, and we can believe it, God. So let us go out, if we're not tithing, God, and just test you on this. Let you show us what you will do for us. And we thank you for not only the blessings that you will provide for us, but all of the things, God, the understanding that we get. It's not just about the money, but it's all the other blessings as well. And God, I thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for coming out this morning. We hope that you enjoyed that sermon. It was very good. Thank you for those online. I want to ask you to remember to support the ministry. We need your help always in spreading the word and getting the gospel out. And I have one more announcement, and that is Ignite Prayer. It is going to be this Friday, and it's going to be it's still going to be every Friday. It's going to be the first Friday of every month. The times used to be from 10 to 12. It will be changing. The time will be changing from here on out. It will be from 7 to 9. And you can come out. You don't have to stay the whole 2 hours. You can just come out for just a little while and pray. Bring your family, your friends, and come out and just spend some time with the Lord. And you will have a wonderful time. There will be, you can pray out loud. There will be somebody on the mic. It is an Ignite Prayer. So come on out and spend some time with the Lord. And that is all I have. With that, you are dismissed.